Son las 8 y 18 minutos y les había comentado que tengo un invitado en la noche de hoy. Vamos a conversar con el profesor Ilan Stavans. Ya ustedes lo conocen, él ha estado con nosotros aquí en diversas ocasiones y en esta noche, por supuesto, una vez más, es un placer tenerlo aquí con nosotros. Vamos a darle la bienvenida y conversar. Ilan, buenas noches, good evening, welcome.
Buenas noches, gracias por abrir los micrófonos nuevamente a mí. Es un placer estar contigo.
Me encanta siempre cada vez que vienes porque cada vez es algo diferente. Andas envuelto en tantos proyectos. I was mentioning that it's a pleasure to have Ilan here as a guest. He is a Louis Sebring Professor of Humanities, Latin American and Latino Culture at Amherst College. And every time he comes, he's got something good to share with us. He's involved in so many projects. And right now, I don't know how you do it. You teach, you just wrote a book. You also are producing a podcast.
I'm producing a podcast with this very station where you have been having your wonderful show, Tertulia. The podcast is called In Contrast. It is with the producer, the executive producer, John Vosey. And it's been a marvelous run. We have been doing it for several months already. We air every 2 weeks. These are conversations with a variety of guests, writers, filmmakers, artists, poets, politicians, political commentators, teachers, activists, immigrants. And the hope is to be able to catch culture in the making, just as it is unfolding before us. Este nuevo proyecto del podcast es un proyecto que presentamos cada dos semanas y tenemos invitados muy diversos, inmigrantes y artistas y políticos y activistas y poetas y todo tipo de personalidades. Y el propósito es mostrar la manera en la cual la cultura está siempre a flor de piel, manifestándose frente a nosotros. And this very Thursday on the 12th, I'm going to take this opportunity, Raquel, to invite all your wonderful listeners to a one-on-one, a tete-a-tete, un cara-a-cara con Rey Suárez, el reportero de origen puertorriqueño que trabajó por muchos años en PBS, en el NewsHour, y que está por este año dando clases en el Valle. Rey y yo vamos a estar en una conversación el jueves de 5 a 7 y media aquí en la estación de NEP. Empezaremos y después nos cruzaremos la calle y estaremos en un espacio que está aquí enfrente donde podrá sentarse todo el público, y la conversación será sobre los desafíos que tenemos en los medios para mostrar la complejidad de los asuntos que nos están afectando tan seriamente en estos momentos, sobre todo en lo que respecta a la minoría latina, en qué medida lo que escuchamos en la radio o vemos en la televisión refleja el mosaico inmenso que somos nosotros, casi 60 millones, y en qué medida los medios de comunicación no están al nivel de reflejar lo que nosotros estamos viviendo, que es más bien mi opinión. So I invite everybody to come. It will be a conversation with Rey Suárez, formerly of the PBS NewsHour, about the challenges of the media today, particularly as they pertain to the Latino community, and the extent to which, in my view, the media has fallen behind and is not fully reflecting the inside and the outside stories, for the most part, instead simplifying us, stereotyping us into numbers or into faces that have much to do with the headlines, but not with the complexity of our minority.
It Explain it, please, to us. Where will that be held? And it's free and open to the public, right?
It is free and open to the public. It's called An Evening with Rey Suarez and Ilan Stavans. It is this Thursday, April 12th, from 5 to 7:30. And the address is 1525 Main Street, which is the address of NEPR. We are going to all start here at the station with a tour and then cross the street all together to the UMass Center at Springfield, where the evening's program and reception will take place.
I see. Okay, so it starts here at 5. This is where we will gather. At 5, and then we are heading towards the other building.
Así es.
Okay, muy bien, excelente. Eso suena súper interesante. Me imagino que vas a poder hacer preguntas que sean bastante profundas en relación entre el periodismo, los medios de comunicación y la población latinoamericana, afroamericana, la población de gente de color, ¿verdad?
Así es, Raquel. Y quiero invitar a los radioescuchas a escuchar el podcast que Rey Suarez y yo hicimos y que es parte de In Contrast, donde él habla de su carrera como periodista de origen puertorriqueño, nacido en los Estados Unidos, y los desafíos que tiene alguien como él de representar a la comunidad y a veces de ser forzado a representar a la comunidad por ser el único latino en un programa de televisión, y por esa razón inmediatamente todo tipo de fuerzas y de vectores caen sobre él. Él tiene comentarios muy interesantes, autobiográficos, sociológicos, históricos que hacer sobre lo mucho que ha cambiado el panorama mediático y lo poco que ha cambiado también en estas últimas décadas.
¿Y cómo te pueden encontrar? ¿Cómo pueden encontrar el podcast? How can people find that podcast?
You can go to the NEPR.net website, mm-hmm. where all the podcasts are, and you look for In Contrast, or you can go directly to wherever you get your podcasts, and it will be accessible. It is a very easy and direct approach, and we have a whole variety of guests that have just been superb in detailing something about their new book or their new movie or the activism that they are engaged in right now as we face increasing challenges when it comes to sanctuary cities or the political divide between Republicans and Democrats and so on.
Son las 8:26 minutos de la noche, 26 minutes past 8. We are speaking with Ilan Stavans, professor at Amherst College, and we are getting some information about the podcasts that he produces, and also we're going to be speaking about his new book of poetry. This is Tertulia, and this is New England Public Radio in Amherst and Springfield at 88.5, also in Pittsfield at 106.1 and at NEPR.net. So, Ilan, tell me about the book, The Wall. Okay. The Wall, the famous wall. What inspired you to write this book?
This book, Raquel, was almost dictated to me more than myself sitting down and writing it. There was a moment in the presidential election where Donald Trump, as a candidate, made that ugly statement that all Mexicans are criminals and rapists and that we are bad hombres. He also said that the only way to handle the divide between Mexico and the United States is by building a wall, and that Mexico would be paying for that wall. All of us heard it. All of us were shaken and shocked by that moment. But because I am a part American and part Mexican, half of my life has been the south of the border, half of my life has been north of the border, that those series of comments stung in a very deep and painful way. And that very moment, I felt the compulsion, maybe the need. I felt as if there was a force that was calling me to go and visit that border, the wall, to see where it has already been built, where it is being built, to touch it, to smell it, to talk with the people that live on both sides, to taste the food in the surroundings, to see where it is dangerous and where it is a tourist attraction, and mainly to become a witness and a chronicler of that enormous injury that divides the two nations, Mexico and the United States. It is almost 2,000 miles from one end to another, and those 2,000 miles are incredibly labyrinthine. Mm-hmm. There are sections where, because of the military or police presence, you can't come too close to the wall. Others that are dangerous in other ways because of the natural landscape, the accidents of nature. There are parts where you come and smell it and you see the river, or you stop at a crossing and you are a journalist or are a witness of all those faces that are going in one direction and the other, and you realize that altogether there are 25 million people that live on that exist on both sides of the border, and that we could call them a nation within these two nations. They are a population that with time has found ways to create a dialogue with each other, or to separate from one another. They speak their own language. If anywhere in the world Spanglish is alive and well, it is exactly there, en el muro, en esa gran pared. And it felt I went from one end to another, and it felt as if I was literally revisiting history, moments in the past where the wall had already been built or where the wall had moved, because at one point in 1848 the U.S.-Mexico division was very different than it is today. I spent time just talking to people, and when I came back, there was this force inside me that told me this is a symphonic poem that you are called to write. And literally in a kind of daze, I sat down and wrote it, and the result is The Wall, in Spanish, El Muro.
El Muro. And just to clarify, in 1848, you mentioned that the border was a little different.
Yes.
How so?
After, in 1846, there was a war between the United States and Mexico.
Right.
They called the Mexican-American War. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that war, there was a peace treaty that resulted in the acquisition by the United States for $15 million of what we call today the Southwest, the states like Nevada and New Mexico and Colorado, etc. So the border that used to be far north went down. This is the result of a treaty that General Santana signed. And when we talk about the wall, we talk about the wall today as we see it. But that wall has changed, and that wall is a recent invention too, of the creation of these two nations that goes back to the 18th century. And before that, it was really an open field. There is a famous Raquel explorer that came in the time of the colonial period, Álvar Núñez Cabeza de Vaca, who was part of a shipwreck in the Narváez expedition in the Gulf of Mexico. And he literally walked from Florida to Texas, and eventually moved down to what is today Mexico City. He left the very first record of how all that region, that is the U.S.-Mexican border, looked at that time in the 16th century. And I had it with me as a document, as a map, maybe as a compass in the journey that I was doing myself.
How interesting. I didn't know that. Now, speaking of muros, there are so many in our planet around the world.
There are so many walls in this in the world, as you say. And what this book wants to do is to reflect the way this particular wall is a statement of the division between Americans and Mexicans, but in a way also is a sibling or a partner in the many walls that humans have built across time and space, from the Great Wall of China, which was made by an emperor who wanted to isolate his empire from his enemies, while at the same time he declared the vanishing of history by burning all the books within the kingdom that did not pertain to him as an individual. He believed that history should start with himself, and everything before it, he burned it. And in many ways, that image of that emperor is one that comes to mind when I think of what Donald Trump is trying to do, erasing the Spanish language, erasing Latino history. There are other walls that have also been very important, certainly very important to me, the wall that separates in Jerusalem the Israelis from the Palestinians, siblings for many centuries that now cannot live together, one with the other, and that just right now are in the process of again intensifying in Gaza the tension, the wall that separated communist and capitalist Germany, the wall of the Warsaw Ghetto. So the book pays tribute to previous walls as it looks at this wall as in the sense of being a monument to the hatred that we have today.
Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to listen to some of the poems that you have written?
Será un enorme placer. It will be a great pleasure. I would like to read from a section in the book that is called Who's the Who. This is the second section of the book, and this is a part that switches from Spanish to English. And I'm going to start reading it in English, and then I'm going to come to a point where I'm going to switch to the Spanish translation that is already available so that people can get a taste. Atención, pero nadie te oye. America is home to romantics. All are busy at work, incessant, industrious, back and forth, coming and going. Ziggurats are built by deranged architects at astonishing speed. The skyline changes every second. Nothing lasts a day. Cities rise and fall. The tyranny of the new. New is young. Young is original. Original is novel. Novel is fresh. Fresh is different. Different is desirable. Each wall is made of bricks, cement, beams, plaster. Yet walls alone, disengaged, don't result in anything, but in walls alone, disengaged, in nothing. Excess, more is more. The future is a work in progress. It isn't now, but across the line, mañana, a promise delayed. Muro de mierda. The ghost of mi hermano a cuestas. He viajado casi a lo largo de toda su extensión, 1989 millas, a través del coágulo de su gangrenado río, fétido, ghoulish, su perímetro que renuncia a la vida. Otros muros son una mera preparación. Este es el muro para acabar con todos los muros. Ninguna otra línea imaginaria en el mundo es cruzada con más frecuencia. Ninguna otra línea en el planeta huele más fétida. Sí, patrón, this is the end of my south, and this the end of your north.
Muy bien, muy bien. Dime una cosa, en tu recorrido, ¿Has encontrado alguna situación que te haya impactado tremendamente y tal vez te haya hecho recapacitar y sentir de que tienes que dedicarle más fuerza, más poder, más esfuerzo a esto? ¿Ha habido algo bastante intenso, alguna experiencia intensa?
Ha habido muchas experiencias, Raquel. De hecho, ese recorrido, ese viaje, me llenó de imágenes y de anécdotas que me persiguen y que aparecen ahora hasta en los sueños. La gente del norte no quiere cruzarse al sur porque el sur está lleno de violencia, de carteles, de pandillas. La gente del sur sueña con cruzarse al norte porque el sur está lleno de violencia, de carteles, de pandillas. Y hay una división entre el orden y el desorden, la desconfiguración y la apariencia de progreso, que es muy marcada. Lo que más me impresionó son las gentes que están del otro lado, como mercaderes, como gente en sus bicicletas, gente vendiendo cervezas, vendiendo tacos, vendiendo pizzas para aquellos que están a punto de cruzar, y muchos de ellos tienen parientes del otro lado, muchos de ellos han perdido a parientes en el proceso de cruzar la frontera, y te cuentan que la última vez que vieron al hermano o a la prima o al novio, y te dan una fecha específica y te sacan una fotografía y te cuentan cómo los querían, y el silencio viene después. Y ese silencio, el silencio de no saber qué hay del otro lado, el silencio de aquellos que se han perdido, de aquellos que la memoria ha borrado, es muy profundo.
¿Alguna poesía que refleje esa intensidad?
Hay un momento en el poema, Raquel, en el cual yo llego a Tijuana y un hombre que me ve como yo, de piel blanca, caucásico, se burla de mí y me dice que yo no entiendo el proceso real porque estoy protegido por mi propia anatomía y por mi propia biología, y me empieza a contar la historia de un lugar mítico entre los chicanos que se llama Aztlán, y me mete en un sótano y me describe ese lugar casi imaginario, y el poema dice así: "You professor, ¿verdad? Sure as hell you're not from here. Around these lands. Have you told them about Aztlán?" He smiles. "They listen to you because of the color of your skin, Blanquito." Angst, miedo, apprehension. "Órale! Tell the gringos about the real magic kingdom, the kingdom of Aztlán. It's the Xanadu of the Aztecs. You know where Aztlán was? Okay, profe. Like Tomochan, Cibola, Toyan, and Chimostoc, Aztlán is everywhere and nowhere. A place of heroes and heroines and heroin addicts. Alfredo Chavero believed it was on the Pacific coast, maybe in Nayarit. Others think Aztlán is in Jalisco, Michoacán, or Guanajuato. Take your pick, profe, as long as you find it, since Aztlán, de veras, is the loin, el paraíso, and a loin cannot be divided." He pauses. The music, "Sing the Reel," followed by "Die, Cowboy, Die," followed by "Quetzanimales," is suddenly loud. Lucha Villa, José Alfredo Jiménez, Juan Gabriel. The owner says, "I want to show you Aztlán. Come with me." I follow him behind a curtain, into another room, down a staircase, across a refrigerated chamber, into a dark area, after which we enter a shrine. A sign on the wall reads in English, "Dante's Circle Number 6, The Denial of Immortality." At a distance, I listen to a woman half-heartedly whistling La Cucaracha. Flowers, candlesticks, fruit, framed images of La Virgen, Frida, María Sabina, El Santo, Reyes López Tijerina, Dolores Huerta, and César Chávez, as well as Benito Juárez, and Lincoln, and Obama. Offerings in an altar. I see a doll of Trump with black marks all over. The incense makes me imagine Jerusalem. I have a vision in a dream. Am I in a junkyard? Aztlán, carajo, the owner says while putting tequila on the altar.
So Aztlán then is a place that it's an imaginary place, but it's something very symbolic for all the Chicanos.
Exactly. Ah. Aztlán is the original land, the place of beginnings, where Chicanos, who consider themselves to be earlier versions of Mexicans, suggest that they came from when on a journey to find the place where Mexico would ultimately be built, which is in Tenochtitlan, mm-hmm. where is Mexico City today. And that mythical place of Aztlán has been on the Chicano imagination for centuries. And you find it in a variety of ways on the border, sometimes in insinuated fashion in images or in dreams that people convey to you. And sometimes you come to the realization that the border itself is Aztlán. It's a place that is no place. It is more in our imagination than in reality, and it is both a place of pleasure and of astonishing pain.
Oh, okay. Well, I did learn something now. It reminds me of some of the myths also on the creation of the Inca Empire and the pre-Incas, and how, you know, these people came out of the Lake Titicaca, and then they were the founders of the empire. So these Greek cultures always have these magical myths that makes it all the richer.
Absolutely. In some of the journeys that many people have, and I think many of us scholars and poets have, are not only about finding the voice for the border, but finding those stories of origins so that we tell them to our children and grandchildren, to the next generations, and they live in the greater conception of what the Americas are all about, and not only one vision, which is the one of those that came from across the Atlantic from Europe. There are many other stories of origin that are worthy and need to find their own space.
Exactly. Well, let's close our conversation with a word of hope. Maybe.
Absolutamente, si puedo pasarme ahora al español, if I can change to Spanish.
Sí,
now.
Of course.
I think, Raquel, that in these dark times, in...
You said in Spanish?
Oh, my God. I said in Spanish, and aquí va. Yo creo que en estos tiempos de oscuridad y de temor, en momentos en los que se devalúa la vida humana, y que descartamos a muchos porque parecen ser meros números, yo creo que la poesía tiene un papel muy importante que jugar. Parece ser superficialmente inofensiva, palabras en una página que no tienen mayor poder, pero la poesía sobrevive. La poesía son cuentos de orígenes, la poesía son las leyendas, la poesía son las voces de los antepasados que pasan de ayer al hoy y al mañana. Y cuando uno escribe poesía, forma parte de un coro más amplio, que no es solamente de aquellos que están vivos, sino de aquellos que vinieron y de aquellos que van a venir. Y en ese sentido, yo quiero terminar con esta visión de esperanza de que en la poesía encontramos algo que no encontramos en otras partes.
Muchísimas gracias, Ilan. Ha sido un placer inmenso tenerte aquí en Tertulia, y tú bien sabes que eres bienvenido en cualquier momento.
Muchísimas gracias y te felicito muchísimo por este programa tan estupendo que tienes.
Mil gracias. Mi invitado en la noche de hoy fue Ilan Stavans, profesor de Amherst College. Hemos conversado sobre la creación de su podcast y recuerden que están invitados para el 12 de abril aquí en la estación en NEPR 1525 Main Street en Springfield de 5 a 7:30. Todos están invitados, es gratis y abierto al público para la conversación entre Ilan Stavans y Rey Suárez, periodista de descendencia puertorriqueña. Esto va a ser este jueves 12 de abril aquí en la estación de NEPR. Y también hemos conversado sobre su nuevo libro de poesía, El Muro, The Wall. Están ustedes en sintonía de Tertulia.